Starting a new business is a lot of work, but a growing number of people in Wisconsin and across the country are doing just that during the pandemic. New business applications in the state hit their highest level since at least 2005 last July. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And this year, those numbers have continued to be higher than pre-pandemic levels. We're talking now about what's behind a growing wave of entrepreneurship during the pandemic and how it could impact the state's economy. Tessa Conroy is with us. She's an assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. Tessa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know it's going to be a while before we have full-on data for this last pandemic year, but what are some theories about why there's an increase in new businesses starting up during the pandemic?
Yeah, it really has been a surge in new business applications and this entrepreneurial activity. And I think there are several potential explanations. So those might include, for example, people who have turned to entrepreneurship or, you know, striking out on their own out of need or necessity. So perhaps they've been laid off or they aren't comfortable returning to their former position. It could be also just a changing perspective on work. It seems that the pandemic for a lot of people has caused a moment of pause and rethinking. Maybe I'd like to be doing something I'm more passionate about. I think there's also potential for changing demand, that consumer preferences have changed the way we shop, the way we purchase things, the types of activities we spend our time doing. And with that has come new opportunities for businesses. So there are these push factors, potentially, as well as these pull factors. And I think it's important to keep in mind also that with this pandemic, the financial circumstances have been so different than, say, the Great Recession. So we haven't seen the markets decline the way they did in 2009. We had rounds of stimulus. So people are in a different financial position, including their home values as well, than they were in 2009.
There are a lot of different ways to measure the health of the economy. And I know one thing people look at is how much business startup activity there is. Why is that an important thing to watch? Why do we worry when it slows down?
Right. Entrepreneurship is a really important mechanism for economic recovery, and that's because new businesses are disproportionately responsible for new job creation. So when we look at job loss from an economic downturn and think about getting those jobs back, new businesses are a big part of that equation. So we want to be paying attention to, are new businesses starting? Are they hiring employees? Is that generating income for households?
When we think of a business startup, or when I hear the phrase, I'll say business startup, I think my mind pops to some fancy Silicon Valley type high tech thing with bustling offices and such like. You've done a lot of studies here in Wisconsin, and probably this is true elsewhere. A lot of those new businesses might be a person, one person. Can you talk about that that part of our business creation here?
Right. So these are called non-employers. These are businesses without paid employees. So they might be just the man or woman, him or herself, that's running the business. It might have unpaid family members, but generally these are very small. And these actually make up the majority of businesses in the country and in Wisconsin. About three quarters of businesses are actually these non-employer businesses. And when it comes to startup activity, we're actually seeing a lot of these types of businesses during the pandemic, these non-employers. And so again, a lot of people maybe just striking out on their own or running a home-based business. And I think it's important to keep in mind that sometimes these businesses don't get as much attention because they're, you know, they don't have paid employees and they're less likely perhaps to go on to hire and grow and be that engine of economic growth. But they're still creating a job at least for one person. And that's important. Also contributing potentially to quality of life in rural areas with the goods and services that they provide.
And so this could be setting up a shop as a consultant or a craftsperson. It's just me and I'm doing jobs for people around town or hair salon type activities. This could cover a wide variety of business activities, right?
Exactly. And during the pandemic, one of the areas that we saw the most growth in was non-store retail. So presumably these are people maybe selling things from home or they've created an online business, an online shop in retail, and it's just one person behind that storefront.
Talking to Tessa Conroy from UW-Madison's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics, talking about new business creation before and during the pandemic. And let's talk about who is involved here. You've broken it down, at least as much as you can, given the data out there, Tessa, by race. Can you talk about how important these businesses, especially these smaller ones we were just talking about, to people of color, for example?
Right. So people of color are more likely to own non-employer businesses. So this seems to be a really important mechanism or pathway to entrepreneurship. I think that it's important, though, to also understand that that can make businesses owned by people of color more vulnerable during an economic downturn like the pandemic. So they don't have employees. They tend to also be smaller in terms of the sales they earn. And so it makes it more difficult to accumulate the cash reserves that are important to be able to flexibly manage a downturn. And I think that's part of why we saw some of the largest declines in self-employment among people of color early in the pandemic.
Did that bounce back as the shutdowns started to wind down?
Yes. And I think that's one of the hopeful stories of the pandemic is that we did see those self-employment numbers come back for people of color within a few months. It follows a similar trajectory to what we saw with new business applications. There was this initial decline when the pandemic first hit during those first few months, and then things seemed to accelerate in the second half of 2020. I think, though, we want to also be aware that we're just looking at the number of businesses. It's hard to say how those businesses were doing in terms of, you know, maybe these people returned to their business because they had to. There weren't a lot of other choices, and it's hard to know if they were really thriving again or if they just reopened but are still struggling through these remaining months of the pandemic.
What are some of the policies we know about that can help support entrepreneurship?
I think specifically when we're looking at businesses owned by people of color, we want to keep in mind any sort of language barriers, any sort of technical assistance, any sort of requirements that might disproportionately impact people of color with regard to language identification and the size of businesses. So, for example, if we have a state or federal program that is geared towards employer businesses, it's far less likely that we have people of color with employer businesses. So we're just not going to be able to serve them as broadly as if we included the non-employers, for example.
Now, are there big barriers to entrepreneurship, healthcare costs that people might worry about, or, you know, am I going to be able to fund a retirement if I'm starting a business? Are there things like that that might need to be solved at a higher level than just my business?
So two factors that come to mind, definitely health insurance is one of them. We know that when a person who is considering entrepreneurship has, for example, a spouse or partner through whom they can access health insurance, that makes a big difference in how likely they are to actually go on to pursue that business. We also know that capital access to financing is a huge barrier. Undercapitalization is one of the main struggles of new businesses. So to the extent that we can support small business lending through banks, but also community development financial institutions, local rotating loan funds, these are all ways that we can support entrepreneurs of all types.
What are you watching for now? The pandemic still creating rough roads for the economy. What are you watching for in the months to come when it comes to business creation?
So what's so fascinating about the business application statistics is that these are applications. So these are very much a forward-looking indicator or an early signal of entrepreneurial activity. We don't know for sure how many of those businesses are actually going to convert into realized businesses with paid employees. So we've seen the surge of applications, but I'll be watching to see if those businesses actually turn into, again, those realized businesses with paid employees over the next several months to 2 years.
Tessa, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Tessa Conroy, assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. She was with us today to talk about how the pandemic is impacting entrepreneurship and what a rise in new business applications could mean for the state's economy.